Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Charles Robinson, senior writer, Yahoo Sports. Charles, thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm good. So the presser is on the slow boat to Cleveland, apparently.
Bizarre, Charles. We've been talking about that today. I mean, you know, the news first started breaking yesterday morning that Freddie Kitchens was going to be the coach, and as all these other teams are having their press conferences and somewhat quickly announcing, you know, backing up the rumors, we're going on 30 plus hours and the Browns haven't said anything. What do you make of this?
I think part of it is that, you know, so when I had a chance to talk to somebody yesterday morning in the building and we kind of discussed what was going on, like, he just said, look, we're trying to get the staff together. And I think part of the complication is all of a sudden jobs started to fill, other jobs started to fill yesterday. And so what that did was you've got all these guys. So, like, Todd Monken's a good example. Like, you have all these coordinators, guys who thought maybe they would be in potential head coaching positions that now were scrambling to line up coordinator interviews.
Right.
And so, I just think it was sort of, all right, when we walk Freddie out, part of it is, there are going to be a lot of questions about how does a guy go from a positional coach to a head coach in like 10 weeks? And part of the answer to that is going to be, hey, just like Sean McVay and Wade Phillips, just like Matt Nagy retaining Vic Fangio, it's, we want experience around this guy. It's going to be, you know, he's going to have a lot of experience. It's not like it's just going to be Freddie, setting to see with a quote-unquote lack of experience or whatever. I just think it's sort of adding to that full narrative of here's the direction of the franchise.
Charles, you had the story first earlier this week that we were really excited about when you said that Freddie Kitchens will be reporting directly to John Dorsey. That has not been the norm here in Cleveland. It's been part of one of the many problems involving Jimmy Haslam is that the coach reported directly to him. We hated that. When you put that out there, we were really excited about that. Talk about that a little more. And will the same thing happen with the coach and GM? In other words, will the coach be able to hire his own assistants, or will John Dorsey be a huge factor in that as well?
So Freddie is naming his staff, first off. That is what I was told, that Freddie has full authority to pick his own staff.
Okay.
It will not be John doing that. And in terms of Freddie reporting to John, it's been a mess, obviously, there structurally. And you've had a lot of guys come out of there over the last few years who the first thing they've said is Jimmy Haslam continues to court dysfunction. Like, that seems to be what rubs a lot of people the wrong way. And that's, you got the head coach, you've got Dorsey, and then you've got Paul DePodesta all on these separate islands reporting up to Jimmy. And you invite a lot of infighting, frankly, when things go wrong. And a lot, obviously, has gone wrong there over the last few years. And so I think part of what has happened now is, and I think Dorsey was a big part of this conversation, was at least streamlining as many aspects of the organization as you could. And I think as things have sort of sorted themselves out, it became clear Jimmy's not going to take Paul DePodesta and put him under John. It's like, it's not going to happen. However, by taking Freddie and saying, look, we're going to have a more direct report situation for the head coach into the general manager, and the general manager is going to report into me, at the very least, we make that process a little more linear. It raises the question of, okay, what now happens to Paul DePodesta? The way I would describe Paul DePodesta now is sort of a high-level advisor for Jimmy and someone that is, I don't want to say a check for John Dorsey, but he becomes someone who is, he balances things out with Jimmy Haslam in situations where Jimmy Haslam needs a soundboard, wants to, you know, get a different opinion on a move or maybe some of the direction of the franchise. I don't think it's entirely perfect because it's not entirely linear, but you know what? Some organizations make this work, and I would describe it as maybe dynamic tension that can be good in a franchise and definitely better than what the past structure was.
Charles Robinson of Yahoo is our guest. Charles, let's go back to the staff, hiring the staff for Freddie Kitchens. You know, what is his Rolodex like? And does Dorsey, like, give him some names and say, hey, these are some guys you may want to look at if you don't have somebody for this position group or this, that, and the other?
Yeah, I think actually that's where John comes in handy. I think Paul DePodesta and the analytics side comes in handy. That there's no shortage of good lists terms of, you know, coaching candidates for, you know, for Freddie Kitchens outside of what his own list may be. And do I think that, you know, there's a dialogue there between Freddie and John and Paul and even Jimmy about, like, hey, you know, what are the candidates we want to look at? What are we seeking out? Yeah, I think there's a dialogue, but I think it's Freddie's call in terms of his comfort level when he adds, you know, certain guys. And I don't think Freddie has any illusions about, you know, the fact that he would like to add, let's say that from the defensive coordinator standpoint, definitely would like to add a guy who's got a lot of experience, has some head coaching experience. I think that's why you've seen Vance Joseph surface. I think that's why you've seen Chuck Pagano be a guy that has really these are the kind of candidates that are rising to the top, and I think that's because it gives Freddie the opportunity, like a Sean McVay in L.A., to say, hey, you know what, I'm the head coach, but you're the head coach of the defense. That's great. That's awesome. I don't have to worry about that. What I have to worry about right now is designing the most creative offense I can and developing Baker Mayfield to the highest possible level I can, which is absolutely the number one priority on Freddie's plate moving forward.
We're talking with Charles Robinson, Yahoo Sports. Charles, is it safe to say, as we've been assuming, that whether the Browns hire officially an OC or not, that Freddie Kitchens will call the plays?
Yeah, it's going to be Freddie's offense, and it's Freddie's that if there's anything he won over the last eight games of the season, it was the heart of Baker Mayfield, the belief of Baker Mayfield. Not that he didn't have it, you know, obviously in the previous 8 weeks, but I think that sort of I think Baker felt, hey, not only were constraints removed from me, but it was removed from Freddie and my relationship with Freddie. Now we can both move and have a dialogue about, hey, what plays should we have here? What should we be running? That was something that didn't necessarily exist the first eight games of the season. And, you know, I don't think there's any reason why Freddie would step away from that. That's what got him the job, frankly. I mean, I think a big part of what got him the job was what he did in that basically eight-game sort of resume, and then also what he was able to do with Baker Mayfield. So, like, a guy like Monk, it's really interesting. I'm not saying he's not a guy who could land the OC job, but I wouldn't be surprised if it ends up being an OC that maybe is a little less involved or a little open to sort of saying, hey, I'm going to be running the things that Freddie wants us to run. Maybe even I may not be calling the plays. That the OC hire is the interesting hire to me, and I think that's some of the questions that OC candidates have when they come in: is who's calling the plays here? Who's really running this offense? Am I a figurehead, or am I going to be a guy who's going to be calling the shots myself? I think more the DC coach to be.
Right.
They know they're coming in. Hey, I'm running this defense. I got it. That's a lot of responsibility on me, whereas the OC, I think they know they're going to yield to Freddie.
Charles, something I suggested yesterday, and I don't know, maybe it's too soon for this guy, but when Freddie Kitchens got promoted to OC, he hired one of his former players, Ryan Lindley, to be the running backs coach. He's one of the few coaches that's been retained. We've been assuming he'll be promoted to quarterbacks coach. Is it possible he's made the quarterback coach / OC with Freddie calling the plays?
Yeah, it's definitely possible. That is absolutely possible. That and honestly, it's possible it's an untitled position.
Right.
I think there's a chance that someone is an offensive specialist or has like an additional title added to, you know, whatever their positional coach is. But it's like Bill Belichick does things in New England where he says, okay, it's like Brian Flores. He says, hey, you're going to run my defense to Brian Flores, but let's be honest, like, I'm not just going to title you the defensive coordinator. He made Matt Patricia earn it. You know, Freddie could just say, hey, I don't want to name an OC immediately. I want a direct A to B relationship to the offense right now, so I'm just not going to title it. That's possible. You know, we'll see. We'll see how that shakes out. I can't tell you for sure that I know that's going to be the case. And particularly when you bring in a guy like, you know, Todd Monken to interview for an OC position, indicates to me that you're at least open to actually officially naming an OC.
Charles Robinson of Yahoo's our guest. Charles, you mentioned some names for defensive coordinator, those veteran names, including Vance Joseph. Do you think there is a leader in the clubhouse to this point?
I think if they had wanted, now I don't know what's going on with Pagano and I know the Cardinals really want Chuck. I think Chuck, up until the Fangio hire, was sort of holding out hope that he might actually have a shot at that job in Denver. I think the fact that they're interviewing Vance leads me to believe that, you know, they didn't necessarily settle on Chuck. So I don't want to say there's a leader in the clubhouse. I know Vance Joseph is a very strong candidate, though. And interestingly enough, I think he has not only the endorsement of people inside the building, but I think he even has the endorsement of guys who have left the organization who Jimmy still has an open line of communication to. People who you would think may have felt burned by their transpired with the Cleveland Browns, who I think would say, hey, you know, Vance is a really good coach. He's really good. He was a good head coach in a bad situation in Denver, but absolutely would be a steadying influence and someone that Freddie could lean on without ever having to worry that, you know, sometimes guys are a little nervous about bringing former head coaches because you're like, maybe this is the guy who could snake me. I mean, let's be honest, look what happened with Todd Haley. He always had designs on getting that head coaching job. So it makes you a little nervous. Vance does not have that rap, and I think that's very, very important.
Charles, who do you think gets the last two jobs, because Vance Joseph has been mentioned in Cincinnati and Miami?
Cincinnati's a weird one. I will be honest with you. Everyone who has interviewed with Cincinnati has no clue what's going on. And I think it's funny because I think Hugh Jackson is still holding out hope that he's got a shot at that job. I just don't think Mike Brown could ever sell Hugh to the fan base. I think Hugh's going to have to rebuild himself. I think Bieniemy is a guy that, if you're going to talk about outside candidates, I think Bieniemy, because Andy Reid is endorsing him, I mean, like, if you want to talk about a full endorsement, he has as big an endorsement from Andy Reid as Doug Peterson did, as Matt Nagy did. I think that carries a lot of weight. So I would not be surprised if it ends up being Eric Bieniemy in Cincinnati. And Miami, I can't tell you honestly a leader for Miami. Miami kind of went sideways. I know for a fact that Stephen Ross really was hoping he would get a shot eventually at John Harbaugh. And then when that didn't happen, for whatever reason, that whole process really became slow and deliberate. And I think that's as other guys have come off the board, sort of raised the question of, you know, what's going on there.
Right.
Is there any outside chance that he's trying to angle for a Jim Harbaugh? You know, I would have thought Miami would have come off the board by now. Let me put it that way. I'm stunned at how slow post-Adam Gase that process has been. Because, look, when they fired Steve Wilkes in Arizona, I'm telling you, they knew then they wanted Cliff Kingsbury.
Wow.
They could tell you whatever they want now, but I believe that when they fired Steve Wilkes, they knew they wanted Cliff Kingsbury then. They were just trying to figure out how to make it happen. I thought that would have been the case with Miami, and I still believe the reason why this is kind of ground to a halt there a little bit is because he hoped he would have a shot at John Harbaugh, and it didn't materialize.
Charles, we appreciate the time, man. Great work. Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Call me anytime.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.